Welcome, guys, to another episode of The Takeoff. I think we're at episode 72. So I'm glad to be with you today. Today, we're going to talk about something that you may have had experience of in the past or are currently experiencing right now. And that is why construction recruiters get a bad reputation, get a bad name in the industry. So this is going to be a fun episode. Obviously, I'm a recruitment professional within the industry. I have been recruiting within construction now for nearly 11 years. It's my life. It's my business. It's everything that I do. It's basically what I've done my entire adult life. So it's always interesting to hear people's feedback. You know, when I present myself, you know, as someone who specializes in recruitment and construction, the feedback is always quite mixed. You get a few laughs, a few eye rolls, and you know, everyone's always got a bad story to tell when it comes to working with construction recruiters. So it's gonna be an interesting one today while I break down what I think are the reasons why construction recruitment consultants get a bad name. Generally speaking, why recruiters get a bad name. Obviously, there's going to be a part of me that sticks up for the profession because we're not all the same. However, there's things that we always can improve on. And to be honest, it's the same in every single industry. If we compare it to the industry that we work in, construction, you know, the word or phrase cowboy builder obviously is synonymous with construction, with ripping people off. And it would be unfair for me to judge every builder as a cowboy builder. And I guess it's the same thing within construction recruitment. There's good, there's bad, there's terrible, there's phenomenal. Hopefully we're at that more positive end of the industry. But again, there's been things that I've done really bad in my career. It's everyone in the career at some point has messed up. So today we're going to talk about it. If you can hear a little fan going in the background, hopefully it isn't too loud. It's pretty hot here at the moment. We're in the middle of summertime and I am stuck in a little pod, one of those little modular pods that you can talk to people and no one can hear you. So today we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 aspects of why I think construction recruiters get a bad name. The number one reason I think that most people in the industry believe that we don't know what we're talking about. And I believe that probably 80% of the industry in construction recruitment doesn't really know the terminology, doesn't understand the processes, doesn't understand what a construction company is looking for. And therefore, that lack of expertise, that lack of knowledge is obviously is going to be difficult to if you're engaging with a recruiter, whether you're a candidate, whether you're a client, and they don't know what they're talking about. Of course, that makes the whole situation unpleasant. You know, recently I bought a house and the agent was honestly one of the worst agents I've ever experienced, to the point where it was so bad that I was just going to pull out of the deal because he was so incompetent. From every question, he was defensive. You know, it was just so painful. And in honesty, he could barely speak any English and it was just beyond difficult. And there's going to be times where, you know, you're a candidate out there looking for a new job opportunity, you're a client looking for to hire some great people into your business, and you're going to have similar experiences, and there's nothing worse. There's truly nothing worse. The whole house hunting process for me took about maybe 12 weeks, and a lot of that time I was just doing market research. But I can genuinely count on one hand how many really super competent real estate agents I met during that time. There was one guy, South African chap, and he was awesome to the point where I was like, whatever he gives me, I'm going to buy because he's just so good. And I was like, oh my God, it's a breath of fresh air to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. And if I just compare that to construction recruitment, it must be a breath of fresh air when you speak to someone who is diligent, who knows the market, who understands the company, who can answer your questions, who doesn't bullshit you. If you don't know the answer, just say, hey, listen, I don't know. But all of those things, I believe, make a diligent and professional individual. You know, you can engage with someone who's been in the industry 2 months and they're not going to have an absolute notion of what they're talking about, whether it's ECI, DNC, lump sum contracts, whether it's design management, schematic design, you know, whether it's estimating cost planning, benchmarking, cost analysis, all these certain things, they're not going to know because, you know, how they don't know because I'm training, you know, people in the industry every day, you know, and they're asking me, what's the difference between a client and a developer? Or what's the difference between a consultant and an owner builder? What's the difference between a subcontractor and a contractor, or, you know, a super subby and a principal contractor? There's all these different terminologies in the industry that it takes a long time to get a real understanding of what that means. And that comes down to our second point, that the reason a lot of the time that recruiters are generally a bit shit is because there's no official training. There's no training in recruitment really ever. And I was fortunate enough in my career, after the first job that I had, the first job that I had was a very, very KPI-driven role. 20 client calls a day, 5 candidate meetings a day, you know, send out a certain amount of CVs, all this sort of thing. And those KPIs are an aspect of what makes a recruiter successful to some extent. But it was the second company that I joined, Vickerstock, who are still going today, and shout out to the big man, Darren, if he's listening to this, which I guarantee that he's probably not. But him and Hugh Nugent at the time, who, you know, was the manager there, they taught me absolutely everything about recruitment. And that was a genuine, like, university level education. I've been to university 3 times and never completed any degree because I just get so bored. But that says everything. That when I was sitting with those two guys and they were teaching me about recruitment, I literally couldn't take, I literally want to take everything in. I was like a sponge. I was like, it was a psychology degree in recruitment, and it was phenomenal. But I know, having worked for other recruitment companies, knowing loads of recruiters, listening to, you know, umpteen thousands of podcasts in recruitment, most recruitment firms don't actually offer any training. And the training that they do offer isn't generally about the industry. It's about recruitment. So they'll be, you know, they'll get told how to do a business development call or told how to interview a candidate. And a lot of it will be on the surface level training, but there's no industry level training in a saying, right, you know, what is this specific contract meaning? What does a FIDEC contract mean? You know, what does a JCT contract mean? You know, there's no industry information provided, generally speaking, to a recruiter. And a lot of it, and 99% of the people are self-taught. And for me, that's probably something that I believe is wrong within the industry. If you are a recruitment company and you specialize in a specific niche within the market, construction, IT, finance, you've really got to spend a lot of time training and developing your people. First thing that I done when I started getting was I made a nearly 50-page document in terms of methodology of how to recruit, but also, like, nearly every single tier one contractor, every single tier two, every single tier one consultancy, subcontractor, everything in there, you know, and what every job title means, the different types of job titles, you know, whether you're a design manager, but could you also be called design team leader? Could you also be called a project leader, or a senior design coordinator, or, you know, whatever it might be? There's different types of titles that actually relate to the one specific job. So realistically speaking, recruitment is not HR. Recruitment is more aligned to sales. In my opinion, recruitment is an art. It is an art form, because there's so many skills in recruitment that you have to have a high level of proficiency in order to genuinely be a consistently high performer. Now, everyone can have a good year, but not everyone has good, you know, 5 years, 2 years, 10 years, you know. But this is what I believe is what makes a good recruiter: the ability to market well. You know, when I'm talking about marketing yourself, getting out there, promoting yourself, being able to present professionally to both candidates and clients, being able to do business development to clients, being able to influence your candidates, being able to predict what might come up in the future, what difficulties, what challenges might come up, how to manage a deal from zero right through to closing. There's so many things to take into account. You know, whether you're a real estate agent, we've used that example, a real estate agent, in fairness to them, they're probably the closest to recruitment than anything else. But if you're, say, selling cars, you know, like, your product in recruitment is people, but your product in real estate or car sales is an actual product. You're either selling the house, or you're either selling a car or whatever it might be. But in recruitment, your product can change its mind. It's probably the only industry that I know where your product has a conscience, should I say. And that's always, always challenging. And for recruitment firms, how do you promote your business? Because there's a lot of confidentiality laws in place. And it's not like you can just go out there and, you know, start promoting your product and saying, hey, I'm currently representing John Smith of XYZ Construction. Here he is. Go to the market, blah, blah, blah. And so there's so many different challenges in recruitment. And if you're faced with a bad recruiter, not necessarily that individual, but it would, in my opinion, be the company who is to blame, not just that individual. And the reason for that is because they're not training and they're not giving enough professional development to their own staff members. Number three, most of the time, recruiters are recruiting too many jobs, right? Now, there's contract recruiters, there's temp recruiters, which would be labor hire, and then there's permanent, and then there's really executive level leadership. Executive level leadership, we sit between that level and permanent, okay? So we're in that gray space, which works really well for us. But there's a lot of permanent recruiters that might be recruiting for 15 jobs, 12 jobs, 10 jobs, and the more that you recruit for, the lack of quality that you have. Most of the time, most recruiters, even if it's construction, IT, NF, accounting and finance, most of the time they're not focused on one specific area of the market. They're focusing on multiple areas of the market. So it's likely you'll get a recruiter who does supervision. You get site management, project management, design management, contract administration, estimating, cost planning, architecture, engineering, all of these facets of the industry. So how can you be an expert in them all? How can you know all these candidates? How can you know these talent pools inside out? And what happens is they just get, you know, 10, 12 jobs on. They're like, oh, yes, great. We've got a job on. Fantastic. But they haven't qualified the job. They're actually working crap jobs. And a crap job for me is, you know, it's unqualified. The company's working with multiple agencies. It's bad rates, bad payment terms, all that sort of stuff. And so what happens is, that just creates the wrong behaviors within that individual, because they don't really know the market. They'll essentially just advertise a role, hopefully get a candidate, interview the candidate for 5 minutes, back them out around the market. And it's no good for either the candidate, the client, the recruiter. And that just happens constantly, rinse and repeat. And that's why most construction companies will just be over dealing with any recruiters. They're not, none of them are really doing anything different. And I'm not talking about everyone, of course, but that's just what happens. And a lot of that stems from bad training, bad professional development, like in the second point. The market is oversaturated and most agencies are all recruiting for the same stuff. So it's so common for, you know, a recruiter to be working on a role where there's also three other recruiters. And so that particular individual reaches out to maybe 10 people, but those 10 people have already been reached out to maybe two or three times before. And again, what does that do? It just makes the company look shit, because the company's like, if you're the candidate, you're thinking, you know what, if they've needed to go out to four agencies on this, that means they're pretty shit because they can't get anybody, you know? So again, affects your brand if you're working with too many firms, too many agencies. One of the other big things as well is low salaries in recruitment and relying on big commissions drives the wrong behaviors. And so we're going to talk about wrong behaviors now, but that's a big thing. You know, I started in recruitment, I started on 13,000. That was 11 years ago. Even now, the salaries have definitely went up massively, but still, it's still a fairly low paid role for the type of influence, you know, that these recruiters have in the market. And we're in a pretty unique position because we can actually influence the market in some ways. You know, I could go and take an estimator out of Wattpack, put them into Multiplex. All of a sudden, I know Multiplex are looking for someone, Wattpack are looking for someone. You know, I can business development that client. I know that there's a role there. You know, I'm making the market move. And you might say, hey, that's the wrong behaviors. In my opinion, that's if you aren't dealing with either of those companies, if they're not your clients, that is an exceptionally good recruiter who's able to backfill roles. Backfilling always gets a bad rep. In my opinion, it is not bad at all. It's an exceptional recruiter who can do that. And I've done it hundreds of times. But if they're my client, I'd never, ever, ever do it in a million years. And that's, again, talking about behaviors. What are, you know, the wrong behaviors within the industry? One of them is low morals. So, you know, if you've placed someone into XYZ construction, and then in 6 months' time, you're trying to take that person out again, it's just, that's the worst part of recruitment. If you're doing that, you are, in my opinion, you're not going to last within the industry. You're unprofessional. Your client relies on you. They've paid you. And again, it's just not, like, it's not good for the industry. It's you're painting the industry in a negative light. Now, that being said, if I've had to, you know, go to court to get paid by that client, of course, I'm probably not going to have the same level of perception that I would with a client who rings me, talks to me, who we're working with exclusively, we've got good relationship with, we've placed them 5, 6, 7 times before. Again, that's, for me, that's a client. You place with someone one time and they're not paying you, they're trying to mess you around on fees, you know, it's just bad business. You're not one of our clients, you're not a recruitment partner, you know, that's not good business. So again, there's always terms and conditions to all of these things. But in theory and in essence, if you're placing someone into a business and you're taking them out, that's not good for the industry. That's a bad behavior. And that's one thing is because, well, there's not enough talent in the industry, but two, you're not being incentivized to do the right thing by your business, by the company that employs you. Another thing is chasing money and short-term success. You know, you'll find that some people want to come into recruitment just to make a quick buck, maybe make a load of commission, get 30, 40 grand in a year, and then, you know, head off into the, you know, into a different role or go internal or, you know, move on within their life. And again, that short-sightedness breeds, you know, incompetence and breeds a bad light within the industry. And again, similar to construction, you know, someone wanting to come in, make quick money and leave. Cowboy builders, whatever you want to call it, it's the same. Specking CVs that aren't right, that's another big thing, and it's something that kills me if it ever happens to any of my team, whether it's in Geddon or businesses that I've ran before. Cringes me out if, you know, you're sending a guy who's maybe a specialist within building services to a facade company. You know, that's just so bad in my opinion. So it's so incompetent. Again, that's those are the wrong behaviors. That little bit of nervousness to get a CV out the door, you know, KPIing someone, hey, you need to hit 10 CVs this week or 40 CVs this week, you know, and they're just sending things out willy-nilly and not really thinking about things. Again, that's the wrong behaviors. One of the big things, and I reckon this is probably the biggest bone burrow of the industry, is not providing feedback. And that's something that I strongly believe in is providing feedback. Now, I'll always be open and admit there's been years and years where I've been terrible at providing feedback. One of the reasons why is because you're doing too many tasks. You're recruiting for too many jobs. You've got too many candidates ringing you. You know, you're trying to provide feedback. You're trying to get shortlists done. You're arranging interviews. 360 recruiters who are good and have their shit together and can give feedback are worth their weight in gold. You know, that's a very, very difficult to manage all of those. You know, you might be recruiting for 5 or 6 different types of roles, jobs, different locations, all of those things. And so again, it's something that is a challenge within the industry. It's something that I'm always looking to try and get better at. Giving feedback to every candidate every time. Is it always possible? No. Is it something that we strive for? Absolutely. And it's something that I would guarantee, especially in a job market, and it's currently a candidate market, but in a job market like it was the first few months of COVID, when there was hundreds of CAs applying for jobs and there's design managers everywhere looking for work, you know, if you can give feedback to those people at that time, you know, you're doing something special. And it sounds stupid, but it's the truth. You know, it's a busy world we're in at the minute. So that's the wrong that's the wrong behaviors. The last little point here that I have is not knowing your candidates or clients well enough. You know, are they really a client? You know, if you're working with them for the first time, you know, you haven't got any T's and C's signed, they're working with multiple agencies. Are they really a client? No, in my opinion, they're not. But if you've engaged with a client, if you've actually got everything sorted, if you know what they're looking for, do you know the business inside out? Do you know the vision of the company? Do you know what drives the success within the business? Do you know how the director thinks? Do you know what he's looking for or she's looking for? All of these intangible things, all these qualitative aspects of a person, of the company, are the reasons why people actually want to join that company. It's not because of the projects they're working on or the technical aspects of the role. It's generally speaking because of the people, the culture, the environment, the vision, the future, these things that most recruiters have absolutely no idea how to get into that mode of asking those types of questions or, you know, understanding the companies inside out. You know, they might think they do, but a lot of them don't. And it's the same with candidates, you know, like, for example, I'm dealing with 2 candidates at the moment who have certain things going on with their life and certain challenges going on with their life. And today I sat and spoke to one for about 25, 30 minutes about the challenges she was facing from a family point of view, from the point of view of her children and challenges that they're facing in school. Where they could realistically work because of these challenges, you know, what they actually need from the role in order for them to live a fulfilling life. That's what I spent 25 minutes speaking to this candidate about today, and those aspects are more important than the technical aspects, because the reality of it is, if those aspects aren't adhered to or administered to, they will leave without a doubt. You know, like if they are working 60 hours but can only work 30 or 40, that's again, they're going to put their family, going to put their life, their mental health in front of you know, getting a cost plan out the window or window out the door. Yeah, if you ever send cost plans out the window, yeah, don't call me. But yeah, just to give you an idea, that's just where things are at. You've got to know them intrinsically, and that's what helps influence candidates. That's what helps influence the market. Those things are super, 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 super important. So it's there's so many things that make up a bad recruiter. Let's face it, you know, they could just be lazy. That's another one. They could be hit off their head on gear. That's another one. Like, it's this phase, there's so many things in recruitment or people, intangible variables in recruitment and in people that can make them terrible or can make them amazing. You know, when I started in recruitment, I used to spend my Saturday afternoons reading the construction magazine. Like, I was obsessed, you know, but it's not the same for everyone. But there's also perceptions within the industry that I believe are wrong. You know, saying that we're all shit, we're all stupid, is complete nonsense. Saying that we're all second hand car salesmen is complete ludicrous. Saying that all we do is advertise and flick CVs, again, ludicrous. Saying that, you know, there's no talent in recruitment, again, nonsense. My opinion, if you're an exceptionally good recruiter, you know, you're probably going to be successful in any industry in the world, whether that's construction, whether that's finance. The absolute creme de the creme of recruitment can make it in anything, because the people skills that they need to have, the ability to market, the ability to present, influence, manage, coordinate, all of these things are essentially what the top project managers do, because it's the same thing. You're managing people, you're managing stakeholders, you're managing client expectations, you're delivering the undeliverable, you're managing to find a needle in a haystack. You know, like, a great recruiter is worth their absolute weight in gold. Now, again, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm genuinely not saying that's me. I'm committed to learning every day, committed to delivering every day. So many things that I need to get better at. But as an industry, I believe clients are setting themselves up for failure when it comes to dealing with recruiters. I believe that the perceptions are wrong for the most part. Those perceptions drive the wrong behaviors. So, for example, your perception of recruiters is they're shit. All they do is advertise and flick CVs, so we're only paying 10%. Okay, so the recruitment company is only paying a shit salary and paying high commission. So again, that's driving the wrong behaviors in that particular consultant. And that consultant then is stressed out, looking to pay their mortgage, looking to get on the property ladder, you know, looking to do whatever they want to, whatever they need to do. And again, they're flitting in, they will flick out CVs, they'll spec bad CVs to the wrong clients, they'll not interview in-depthly enough, all of those things. But if you're a business that understands that business is run by people and people run the process, then you will go, okay, well, I'm going to pay what I think is fair. And you know what? You'll get far better service. You'll get far better candidates coming through. You'll spend that particular a recruiter will be far more engaged to recruit for you than the other five firms paying 10%. And to be fair, construction really needs to start getting to grips that every other industry you're looking at could be 19 to 30% recruitment fees. Construction is one of the industries and one of the only industries that's paying 10% fees or 12% fees. You know, that's literally what I was started at in 2012. That's the fees that we were charging. It's like 2023. So there's a lot needs to change, and that comes as well. It comes from the client, comes from the construction companies out there, and that they set the standard of what they're looking for. And if they want to engage with five agencies just to find a CA, they're probably going to get a shit service. And to be fair, that recruiter is unlikely ever to get paid, and certainly not going to get paid on time. So there's so many things, but like everything, we can all improve. I would love to hear your feedback on dealing with bad recruiters. I would love to hear what you think should be done better. I'd love to hear, if you're in a position of hiring, what you would like to see from a recruitment firm. I'm really excited to say that in the next few weeks, I'll be leveling up this podcast in a big, big way. I've recently secured a studio. We're going to be doing video podcasts as well as the audio podcast. We're going to be getting guests on each month. I've got the next 30 episodes locked in already of what we're going to talk about. But I would love, if you're a regular listener and you would like to jump on the podcast from you know, your construction, subcontracting, architecture, engineering, quantity surveying, whatever it might be, I would love to hear from you, because I want to start interviewing people. I want to do a number of a day in the life of a QS, day in the life of an architect, a day in the life of an engineer. I want to break your day up from when you wake up in the morning through to closing your laptop in the evening. I want to talk about it all, okay? And there's multiple different interviewees from across Australia, across New Zealand. But I really would love to get to this to the point in the next few years that this is one of the leading podcasts, especially in APAC, in construction property infrastructure. I want to be leading the way and bringing engaging content to the masses. And I can only do that with your help. Let's face it, I'm sitting in a little booth right now, just me, just a laptop, just a my notes on the screen of what I'm talking about. But I would love you to help me make this the biggest podcast in the APAC. So reach out to me. Let's talk about it. Let's jam. I hope you have enjoyed the podcast today, and I look forward to catching up with you next week.